when I start talking about some of this stuff up here that I'm going to be talking about, don't think that I'm saying these things because I have it all together or I'm 100% walking in all these areas that I'm talking about. You can tell by looking at me that I'm not, right? I mean, y'all can see, right? I'm about 45 to 50 pounds overweight of what I should be. But see, I'm not confused about that. But what I'm saying by that is, don't think I have it all worked out, got it all together, because there's not a one of us 100% in every area of our lives have all these things down all the time. Now, if you got your Bible, let's look at Mark 9. And a lot of these, I'm just going to read one verse just for time's sake. Most of us, we could quote it. But how many knows it's not what you can quote? It's what you live. Now, to back up just a little bit, give a little background on this scripture. This is where the guy brought his lunatic son to Jesus' disciples. They couldn't cast the devil out, and here came Jesus. And the father, you know, asked him if he could do anything to help him. Now, let's read here in verse 23. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. In the Amplified. And Jesus said, you say to me, if you can do anything? With a question mark. Why, all things can be and are possible to him who believes. Now, what does that mean? I looked up the word all one time, and you know what it meant? All. That covers a lot of stuff. Right? All. That covers your finances. That covers your mental faculties. That covers your relationship with God. That covers your relationships with people. He says, all things. Is all things possible to everybody? No. Only to those who believe. But he says there, all things are possible to those who believe. To those who believe what? Those who believe that it is possible. Or that it can happen. Or that it will happen. Or has already been done or whatever. So let's say that. Let's read that together there. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that? If we really did, you know what? We would be way more excited. That covers every area of my life. What does that mean? That means things that... I heard a story about a guy one time. His parents were alcoholics. And they actually put beer and liquor in his baby bottle when he was 2 years old to make him go to sleep. By the time he was 9 years old, they took him to the doctor because he was having some problems, and he was a full-blown alcoholic with liver cirrhosis and then liver failure. He's 9. You say, how can that happen? Well, just like he told the story, he said his parents started putting it in his bottle. Well, later on, as time evolved, you know, I mean, this is often. This ain't just once every now and then. This is often going on. Later, as time went on and everything, and he got older and got bigger, when he would get out of the bed, he said there'd be drinks sitting around the table and all that stuff and nothing else to drink in the house other than leftover beer and liquor and things like that. And so that's how he evolved. But by the time he's 9, he's a full-blown alcoholic. Now, you grow up that way. See, sometimes when you've been in something for a long time, it looks impossible. It feels impossible. And you've tried, and you've tried, and you've done all that you know to do, and it feels and it looks impossible. But according to the Word of God, if I can believe it, it's possible to me. How do I come to believe it? The Word. Now, the title is How to Reach Your Goals. And let me read this in the dictionary because I done forgot what it said. And I was going to look it up before I forgot here, and I forgot that too. But I did look it up once I got here. The word goal, and it means different things like a boundary and all that, but I'm talking about in the definition of we want to use it. It says an end that one strives to attain. The goal that the man wanted for his son was that his son be free, right? He was possessed by a demon. The end goal that he wanted was for his son to be free. And he tried the disciples and it didn't work. The Bible says Jesus told him, he said, you couldn't do this because of what? Your unbelief, not because it was the baddest devil around. There are no baddest devils. They're all on the same level, right? Stripped of all power, according to Jesus. Jesus triumphed over them, made a show of them openly, gave us authority over all demons and all of that stuff, right? So there's not a problem with the authority. But he said here, all things are possible if you believe. Well, and some people, I have to say this, because some people, that they'll tell their kids, baby, you can be anything you want to be. That's not true. You cannot be anything you want to be. Baby, you can do anything you want to do. No, you can't do anything you want to do. How many knows, according to Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, I have a plan for you, Jeremiah. God had a plan for every person before they was ever even in their mother's womb. We was all inside of him, and he knows the plan that he has for every one of us. For some people, the plan of God is for them to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a housewife, and just raise kids and different things like that. But God has a plan for everybody, and mine and your job is to find out what the plan and the will of God is for my life. For some people, it's the will of God they live in a trailer. For some people, just like Rondé, for years, and he raised his three kids while he lived in a travel trailer, traveling all around the United States preaching the gospel. I mean, that's not for everybody. But for him, at that time, while his kids was being raised, and God made provision for everything. His kids was homeschooled. They never lacked anything as far as, you know what I mean, being on the road and stuff like that. You know, if the grace of God is not supplying you, how many knows you're going to lack in a lot of areas that way? Most of the time you ain't got no yard and you got three kids, two's boys and one's a girl, and the girl is usually worse than the boys. But the plan of God, for especially for that time for him, was to raise his kids in that travel trailer. But that is not the plan of God for everybody. There's some people, God calls them to be evangelists. They go to little churches here and there or whatever. Then there's others, they go all over the world. Different plans of God, and it's my job. And so therefore, my job is to find out the will and the plan of God. How do I do that? Number one, I need to pray and spend time with him, right? Well, then the Word tells me certain things that I know is the plan of God. God wants me to be healthy. How do I know that? Jesus paid a great price to pay the price for my healing. So that tells me I know that it's the will of God for me to be healed and live in divine health at all times. Sickness and disease never comes from God. It's always of the devil. So therefore, I stand against that, and I believe God for total health, right? Well, there's something that I'm going to have, therefore, that I can believe that. I'm going to have to get saturated in the Word of God in that area. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you cannot do anything in the kingdom of God without accessing His grace by His faith, right? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But he says there in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to those who believe. Y'all say it. All things are possible to those who believe. That was a little weak. I don't think we all believe in that. See, there's times that I say that, and you're going to have to be real honest with yourself. How many of those people tell themselves lies? Like I told you, I'm about 45 to 50 pounds overweight. Not according to what the doctor says, to where I feel that the Lord is pleased with my body. I'm pleased with my body. I feel good. I'm able to move. Listen, at this weight, it's hard to tie my shoes. Why? Because it's all right here, just about up in here. Now, see, y'all not even breathing, are you? Y'all think I'm going to start saying something about y'all? I'm not going to tell y'all what y'all need to weigh or what you need to eat. That's not my job. But if you're going to change, how many knows the humble get the grace? And what we need is God's grace. Because with enough of God's grace, there's nothing that we cannot do that's in His plan for us. Why? Because grace is His undeserved, unmerited favor. With enough grace, He opens doors that ain't nobody can shut. And He shuts doors, can't nobody open. But the proud get what? Resisted. What is pride say? I don't really have a problem in that area. Well, honey, you're 400 pounds. You really don't think you have a problem in that area? Let's say, Daniel, none of y'all weigh 400, I'm sure. So y'all know I'm not talking to y'all. See, there's some people, they think they have just worked their body to the bone. They've had to have knee surgery and neck surgery and all kinds of stuff. And whenever they talked to the doctors, it wasn't nothing more than your body was not made to carry 300 and 400 and 500 pounds around every day for 20 years. I'm mean, you got athletes. You ain't never done as many squats as they've done, and their knees are not wore out. Y'all understand what I'm telling you, right? See, like me, I'm 45 to 50 pounds overweight to what I feel is my best weight, where I feel my best, I can move around the best. And there's three people, if you're married, you got to please. There's three people I got to please, and Sandy ain't one of them. Number one is God. Number two is my husband. And number three is me. Now, Scotty, he says he don't care, and he really don't act like it, as far as I can tell, what I weigh. But now, he does have a problem sometimes when what I weigh makes me act a certain way. Don't know what I'm talking about? I don't want to go certain places. I don't want to wear certain things. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? Because he wants me to go with him. Well, I don't want to go. I'm fat, and I don't feel like it, and I don't want to go. Now, see, I know y'all don't going to say that stuff, but that's okay. I'll tell y'all mine. So that way we can stay off of y'all and y'all can do what y'all need to. Why? Because certain things will make us act a certain way. You know why I'm in a house with a pool, Johnny? Because I'm fat and I'm not going in the pool with everybody else. Now I'm just going to tell y'all. I just rented a house. The thing had a pool, it had a game room, and it had a thing. I didn't go anywhere. Did I go? I didn't go anywhere, did I? I didn't even get in the pool either. But just in case I wanted to, I have my own. You know why? Because I'm fat. And I don't feel comfortable wearing any kind of bathing suit, even if it comes down to your knees. Just don't feel comfortable with that. Well, there was a time, though, that I have been comfortable in my own skin. And I know about what that weight is and how I feel. Now, I'm not talking about that I go hang out everywhere and show off my body and all that, because I've never been like that or whatever. You see, this is in every area of our lives. I'm just talking about one right now, right? So therefore, if I'm going to lose weight, do you know you can go on every diet there is, and that's all it is just a diet? There's certain things that, just like before, what was it, 2014, 2015, somewhere around in there, most of y'all know the story. I had gained a lot of weight and had went to the doctor, and they said I had the, type 2 diabetes, where you can cause that yourself, type 1 you can be born with or whatever. But anyway, I have that, and they put me on the metformin medicine. That stuff makes me sick. I can't take that junk. And so now I have a dilemma here. I'm unhealthy because of what I'm eating and because of what I weigh. So if I want to be healthy, what do I got to do? Well, I just don't eat nothing. I eat like a bird. Impossible. Now, we all saw Johnny. He went on a fast. I don't know what kind or how long or whatever. It was a while. Johnny, did you have a weight problem? He had underweight problem. I mean, well, it was a couple times he come in here, and Scotty was like, we better get him some kind of belt to tie the britches on. See, you don't gain weight by breathing air. But there's some people want to act like they do. I'm telling you right now, I just look at food and I gain weight. That's a lie. There's nobody on this planet that can just look at a piece of cake and get fat. Impossible. But what do? We tell ourselves these lies. What do? Lies bind you up. Truth makes you free. What is the truth? God said his word is truth. So therefore, whatever his word says, that's what I need to stick with, regardless of how I feel. See, there's been things that I felt like, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't help it. I mean, that's a lie. I can help it. If I can't help it, then I shouldn't have to repent. Right? The very word tells me that I have to repent. The Bible says, for every man that knows to do right and doeth it not is what? Sin. See, we think homosexuality is the sin. We think adultery is the sin. We think getting drunk is the sin. No, it's not. All that is the result of the sin. The sin started when the will of my own heart crossed God's will and I chose my will. Then now you can see the action of that decision. But the sin was in my heart. The sin wasn't what I did out here. The Bible says if a man even looks upon a woman like to commit adultery with her, he's done it already. He never even touched her physically. So therefore, sin is what I know to do right. See, there's some people, they know to go to church, but they don't do it. You know what that is? Sin. Why? Because you know. See, God only requires that every one of us walk in the light to the degree that He's given it to us thus far. But He fully intends whatever light we have in whatever area it is, anytime we're not walking in that, we're walking in darkness and we're sinning. Well, we're really having fun now, ain't we? Yeah, boy. Let's look at Philippians 4. So therefore, I got to believe this, right? I can do all things. I mean, all things are possible. Why? Because I believe they are. And if I'm going to believe they are, then I have to get the word on it. You cannot believe it without the word. I can't just do anything I choose to do. Absolutely not. I can't just believe anything supernaturally that I choose to believe. You can't do it. You have to have the word on it. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can call yourself in faith. You can say it. But how many, have you ever, because you knew it was the right thing to do, but said something out of your mouth in line with Scripture, but on the inside you're like, reason why that is, you're not really in faith yet. Because, see, you don't speak it to get in faith. The Bible says what? We speak so we believe? No. He says we believe, therefore we speak. The Bible says the way we're born again is we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Not confess with our mouth and then believe in our heart. Well, the reason why we say it is because it's in there in abundance to the full and it's overflowing and you can't help but say it. Then whenever you say it, you believe it when everything looks contrary to it. I know back whenever I lost, it's 2014, 2015, I told you about the diabetes thing and all that. So therefore, I want to be healthy. I don't want to. The next step is I'm going to have to take shots. And anybody that knows me very well at all, I cannot stand needles. I'm not scared of a lot. Not a lot bothers me, but needles, I just see them and something starts happening. I can feel metal under my skin and I can't stand that feeling. I mean, I can't even get blood. I gave blood one time and I passed out when I made it to the bathroom. They're dragging me out the bathroom of St. Vincent's Hospital in Birmingham down there because I gave blood that morning. Just can't stand that stuff. Well, if I can't take the metformin and the pills and things that they've got for diabetes, how many of diabetes can kill you? Absolutely. So therefore, my next step is I know I'm going to have to take the shot. And Teresa ain't taking no shot. Great incentive to get on the treadmill. Now, you don't ever want to have to wait till that long, but if you do. But why did I get that way? Just giving in to the flesh. See, I have this thing, and probably a lot of people have it. Maybe not to the degree that I do. And I still do it on washing powders and certain things. If a little bleach is good, a whole gallon is better. That's just my thing. If a little dishwashing liquid's good, half a bottle's better. Washing powders, I probably spend $40 a week on washing powders. Because, and plus Scotty, I mean, if y'all have ever seen his clothes, that man walks outside and the dirt says, yay! And it just like runs and jumps on him. Seems like. Now I know that'll happen. But it just seems that way. I mean, the man comes in, he's got hydraulic fluid from head to toe. He come in yesterday, I mean, was that yesterday or the day before? No, day before. From his knees down, Johnny, is black. I'm not talking about brown. It's black. And it's all in the cracks and everywhere. And he takes his clothes off and goes and piles on the couch like that. So, anyway, I still don't think I have to use quite as much washing powder as I do. But what I'll do is I'll put one scoop of the powder in the bottom. Then in the little dispenser thing up there, I'll put the Oxy I pour in. This or I use the little pouches. This is a stain release or stain remover or something other. I put that in there, you know. So I have, in every load just about, I have three different types of Tide. So back when I was lost, if a little bit of drugs was good, smoking a joint was good, hallelujah, all day long was better. I'm serious. If drinking a little bit was good, drunk till you're throwing up is better. That's just, I don't know, maybe everybody's flesh is not like that. If one slice of pizza's good, hallelujah, half a pizza's better. That's why I say I didn't get this big by breathing air. And so therefore, my flesh and everybody's flesh, maybe not in every area, maybe your thing is not eating. You know, a lot of times Christians, they don't smoke, drink, cuss, dip, chew, hang around with nobody that do. But blessed be God, we can eat in fellowship. Eat in fellowship. Eat in fellowship. There's some churches, all they do after church is they go out and they eat together. Then they gather back Sunday night after church, and after church they go out and they eat together. I'm serious. And most of them look like hogs. I look like a hog too, so I'm not saying nothing bad. I mean, I'm serious. So see, my problem might not be your problem, but you got one somewhere. How do I know that? Because not one of us are 100% identical, walking fully in the fullness of what Jesus did yet. Not that we can't, we can. But how many knows what needs to happen? We got to get flesh under control. Because that's all it is a flesh problem. The only reason why I'm 45 to 50 pounds overweight is because of a flesh problem. See, it's I just have a slow metabolism. Gosh, I wish we could get off this weight stuff. Get on something y'all do. I just have a slow metabolism. Do you realize it's scientifically proven, if you ask the doctor, your metabolism is directly linked to your movement. The more you move, the quicker your metabolism is. The less you move, the slower your metabolism is. Scientifically proven. So if you, and plus, don't keep saying that. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's life and death in what? The power of my tongue. Why would I want to curse myself like that if I'm trying to lose some weight? What do I need to say? Bless God, I have a supercharged metabolism. That baby, and not just lay on the couch either, because that's not going to get anything. Just to confess, the Bible says faith without works. If you really got faith, you're really going to be saying and doing something. That pretend junk that the Bible talks about in Timothy, feigned faith, what that means is it's not real. It's fake. See, you can say something all day long, but the way I look, the way I am, what I have, the way I did, that proves my life, whether I really have faith or not. If I'm so far in debt that I cannot breathe, that I have to work 90 hours a week just to get by, I was not led somewhere. How do I know that? Because God is not going to put that on me. He's just not going to do it. I have been in debt for years. Now I'm close to being out. But I have never, ever been led by God and owed on something that it was just a constant struggle to pay for. Never. Why? There's grace. But now there's been times that me and Scotty, our little flesh got out of control. I had me a little red wagon, you know, not a red wagon, but a big four-wheel drive Dodge truck, you know, with the big old mirrors and all that stuff, extended cab, you know, and he's got him a big honking Dodge and all this stuff. We got $1,000 a month, not counting insurance, vehicle payments. God did not tell us to do that. So you know what happened? Not much grace there. See, what I like is for me to do what I want to, and then God's got to come along and take care of everything I want. It's not going to happen. Wherever he leads, guides, he will provide. Even if it looks like this not coming in, he will. So what happens? We get to where we cannot breathe. We get to where I'm sitting on the front porch and I'm crying and I know. I said, God, help us. Please help us, God. And that's not all we got. I mean, we got other payments out the wazoo. TV, everything, air conditioner, all kinds of stuff we owe them. God didn't tell us to get all that stuff. He just didn't do it. How do I know? Once we begin to cry out, because see, God says, owe no man nothing but to levy. The Bible says the borrower is subject to the lender. What's that mean? I have got to do, if I gave them my word I'm going to pay for something, I don't care if I have to work day and night, I've got to keep my word. So therefore, I'm subject to that lender. I've got to do what that lender tells me to do. And how many knows? Then now he becomes my God. I'm no longer free to do something else if God tells me to do something else. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work. God says 6 days shall a man work, right? But we had got into that mess and nothing more than just yielding to the flesh. That's all it was, you know. And we go, we start crying out to God and repenting. How many knows that's a very good thing to be doing? Repent. Now, what's that mean? Just cry about it? No. You may cry. You may have some feelings of crying and all that. But repentance is a true turning of your heart, a changing of your heart and your mind to where, God, help me. I'm coming out of this. I don't want this no more. I want your will. I don't want my will. So y'all have heard the story. God began to tell Scotty what to do. Sell this truck. Well, God began to deal with me because the red truck had a place in my heart that it should not have, that I allowed it to, what would you say, puff me up a little more, than higher than what I should be. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? So I take the thing down there. I pay. Now, I told you, this is a honking Dodge, Monty. Nice truck. Big four-wheel drive, all terrains, extended mirrors. Oh, and I got a kicking jam system. I got a Rockford Fosgate under my seat. I've got audio bonds filling up the back seat. I mean, I sit at the red light, my mirrors are going boom, boom. I'm serious. I mean, so this is a kicking truck. I like it. But it begins to take a place, so I allow it to take a place inside me that I should not. So I take it down there to, what is that, Lewis? Whatever the name of that is, down there in Oneonta. And I'm looking. I thought, this is not right. I can't allow this. I'm getting rid of this truck. I love God, not this. Go down there, and this is a, what was that car? Then, what? Yeah, 96 four-door Buick Century, one owner, with 33,000 miles. The old lady's gloves are in the glove box along with her glasses. Y'all know what those glasses and the gloves look like, right? I mean, so elderly, I should say. Elderly lady. Nice car. But now I'm going from a kicking Dodge four-wheel drive to a four-door 96 Buick Century. I took it over there and showed Mama. She's like, you did what? There's a reason for that. But he says, all things are possible to those who believe. Well, God began to tell, I did that with that. And they actually charged me, Johnny, to swap with me. And I paid. I cannot believe that, but I thought, well, that's what I got to do. That's what I got to do. How many know sometimes God will let you have what you want and let it cost you? Ooh, cost you. Sometimes you have to do with that with your kids. You told him not to do it. No, you can't do it. No, you can't have it. No, you don't want that. No, Scotty wanted a truck one time. And even the guy at the dealership told him, man, you don't want that truck. Because they was kind of friends. I mean, Scotty bought a lot of vehicles there. He told him, man, you really don't want that truck. Scotty said, yes, I do. He said, well, you can have it. He really did not want that truck. I can't even remember if you made it home or if you made it home and then when you went out to go to work, it broke down. I mean, to the point to where the last time he called me, now, this is probably not nice, but anyway, he called me and I said, don't call me, I'm not coming, I'm not a wrecker service, and I hung up on him. Why? That thing is breaking down every time he gets in it. And I mean, the Lord tried to tell him you don't want it. The dealership guy tried to tell him you don't want it, but Scott, no, I want it. You know what happened, Monty? He did want it. See, sometimes you can learn a lesson if you go through it once and not stupid. Stupid goes through it and 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 never learns nothing. That's what stupid means. You can't learn nothing. Now, ignorance is, it just means you need instruction. He tried to give him instruction and he didn't want to listen. So if you're going to be stupid, it'll cost you. Absolutely. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about anybody. Have been there, done that too. But here in Philippians 4, just for time's sake, we're going to read verse 13. He says, I can do all things, there's the word all again, through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Amplified Bible says it this way, I have strength for all things, not in myself, he says, in Christ, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything, not by myself, through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Just like I told you, I lost 33 pounds in 3 months in 2014, 2015, whatever it was. I wasn't on any kind of diet necessarily or whatever. I started exercising. I quit eating so many carbs. I quit going out to eat. I mean, I think we may have went out to eat 3 times in 3.5 months. You know, and eating healthy. All I done was started exercising and eating healthier food, making healthier choices, and asking the Holy Spirit to help me. I mean, anybody know, I'd hate exercise. That's just the way it is. But now my confession has to become, I like exercise. Exercise is good. Because it is. It's good for your body. You know, and some people think they don't need to exercise. They work. I'm reminded of a story. Scotty, he went in business with his brother. And so, how many knows that a lot of times there's a lot of pressure, especially when you're first starting? You don't know how to handle everything. You don't know the answers to everything. You're praying about everything, seeking God about everything and all of that, you know. And so he was under a lot of stress, and he didn't know yet how to cast all of his cares over on the Lord. It usually, I mean, the phone would ring, and it's a problem. Somebody's got a problem, got a call back. Something broke after you left, got to go back and fix it. Somebody needs this fixed, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he went to the doctor because he starts having some problems. Well, the doctor told him the only thing that was wrong with him was stress. He said, therefore, you need to start exercising. He told the doctor, he said, I exercise every day. He said, all day long. He said, I'm up and down ladders. I'm walking. And the doctor told him, he said, that's not exercise. He says, the kind of exercise you need is you got to get your heart rate up to a certain rate and you keep it there for a certain length of time. That's exercise that's going to do you good. It's not just work. Now, why would I tell you that? Because a lot of people, they're convinced, I work all the time. I don't need to exercise. Well, honey, if you feel you're 100 pounds overweight and you want to, you probably need to exercise because you're not working enough to work it off. See, when I was a kid, I was probably about, 11, 12 years old. I don't know how long. We may have moved there when I was 9 or 10. I don't know. But we lived in the projects in Boaz called Somerville Homes. There's a lot of this big project place, you know, and got the pavement like out here, you know, around the projects with the little speed bumps and the gullies for the water and all that stuff. I'm telling you that for a reason so you can get a picture. Well, I'm about 11, 12 years old. Excuse me. And Mama was, we get breakfast, we get outside, and the door's locked. You got to pee, you pee outside. You got to do something else, you do it outside. Why? Because once she gets up and we get our breakfast, she's done with us. I'm not saying good or bad, that's just the way it was. Excuse me. Well, I had a bicycle. And it was a few miles from our house down to Main Town, Boaz. So I would get on my bicycle. My sister's about 5 years younger than me, and so I go alone. I like alone anyway. I get on my bicycle, and I ride my bicycle them few miles down to downtown Boaz. Whatever, look around, you know. I'm about 11, 12. And I may do that, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a week. Then down the hill below us, below the project houses, a pretty good ways, maybe a mile or less, something like that, is a big stream. And there's a park down there. So riding my bicycle down there, you know, and we play in that stream and all that. I'm telling you this for a reason. I do not have a weight problem whatsoever. I have the biggest yard out of the whole projects. I have the corner house. And the corner house has the big square yard. And I'm in charge of push mowing that yard. I'm the one does it. Then to make some money to buy me some little earrings through Avon and stuff like that, I mow some of the neighbor's yard for money and stuff like that. So why am I telling you all this? I don't have a weight problem whatsoever. Why? I'm moving. I'm going. Well, then Daddy buys us skates for Christmas. And lo and behold, do you know how many calories you can burn off skating, roller skating on the road around the project houses? Just over and over and over. A lot. Well, then lo and behold, things changed. We moved down back down here. Back to, I can't even think of what that is over there now. What? Was it called Nectar? Over there, I guess between Nectar and Hog Mountain, I guess what you call it. I'm somewhere around the Skyball Mountain over there. There's no Playmates. There's no town. There's pavement on the road, but the kind of pavement it is gravel with tar on top of it. You don't want to skate. It's not level. There's nowhere to ride my bicycle. I mean, we have a little bit of yard. What happened? I developed a weight problem, and I've had one on and off ever since then. So I know that it's not my metabolism necessary. What happened? When I moved down here, I was about 12, 13 years old. I began to develop a weight problem. Why? I wasn't doing as much as what I was when we lived up yonder. There was not as much to do, seemed like. Therefore, I developed a weight problem just because I wasn't moving as much. So see, you can't believe that you just have a slow metabolism is why you can't lose weight. You can't believe you eat next to a bird if you're 400 pounds overweight. It's a lie. Therefore, you can never lose any. You cannot believe that you cannot save money because you have all of these honking bills that the Lord has led you to. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And if I'm ever going to lose weight, if I'm ever going to come out of debt, do you realize you can be as close to God as you want to be? There's people telling me, I wish I just had a better relationship with God. I just don't understand. I'm telling you, I pray and this, that, and another. Honey, you cannot spend time with somebody and not develop a relationship with them. If you need a better relationship with your husband or your wife, begin to spend time with them. Begin to do the things that you used to do. When he asks you what you want to eat, don't say, I want Kentucky Fried Chicken and I don't care what you want. You chose what you wanted last week. See, I just tell y'all like I do. Ain't none of y'all as bad as me, so probably. So y'all got it good. So what do I need to do? If I'm going to work on mine and Scotty's relationship, and I'm doing some of it now, I asked him this morning, can you tell him, sweeter, yet? He said, yeah, you're like a pie. And I'm like, well, I think you're lying now. But anyway, I've been doing a little bit of that. Why? Because my relationship, I've got some problems. I need some things to work on. And I don't need to start with him. I can't change him. I can gripe at him. I can complain to him. I can tell him, you're going to do this or you're going to pack your bags, blah, blah, blah. And I can't make him pack his bags. He called the law on me one time before we got saved. He wanted me out. You know what they told him? Mr. Weston, she's married and she lives here. I can't make her go. You can go, but I can't make her go. So I told Beth that. I told my daughter-in-law. My, she didn't know it either, Bonnie. I had to help her. But anyway, my point to all of that is, I'm getting sidetracked here, is if I want a better relationship with my husband, or you want a better relationship with your wife, then when he asked me what would I like to eat for supper, maybe I could go back to the way I used to be. Whatever you want. That's fine with me. And maybe he picks Chinese and I just don't want to eat it, Johnny. I can choke it down. Or I could say, well, you know, I might like to have so-and-so. Instead of, I'll tell you what I'm going to get, and bless God, I don't care if you eat it or you don't. That's what I'm eating. That's not good for a relationship. And how many know sometimes, if you're not careful, that can begin to happen. And it's nothing more than selfishness. And then you can't figure out what went wrong. Maybe you need to date every now and then. I don't know. I keep them kids for Travis and Beth to date, and if I find out they argued that night, it's not good. I'm not keeping them kids for y'all to argue all night. I'm going to keep them kids. Y'all go on a date, enjoy each other, have a good time. Anything other than that, don't even bring them out here on Tuesday. That's one of the reasons I do it, plus to spend time with my grandkids. Oh, y'all looking like a deer in the headlights, some of you. I know, probably it's some of your stuff. But if I want a better relationship with God, I can have as close a relationship with him as I want. There's no way he's hiding from me. There's no way he's trying to not spend time with me. When he gave the very best that heaven had to offer, that he possibly could, to be with me, to be close to me, to be in me, to talk to me, to lead me, to guide me. The time that it took and the things that people had to go through just to write this word down so I can read it today. And I want to say he's the reason why I don't have a close relationship. There's a problem that you're lying to yourself somewhere. I'm lying to myself somewhere. But now what's that mean? It's going to take time on my part. It's going to take effort on my part. It's going to take faith on my part to access the grace, to continue praying 3 times a day or however that often that I pray or whatever. And if you're not there yet and you want a closer one, guess what you do? Start doing it. See, if I feel like I'm not in love with you, with Scotty anymore, all that means is love's got cold. He said over in the book of Revelation, he said what? Repent, go back, and do your first works over again. Why? Because you've lost your first love. I need to go back and rehearse the things that made me fall in love with him to begin with. The things that I loved about him instead of just like, y'all remember them clothes in the floor? Probably 15 years I was on that man about them clothes in the floor. I never have to tell him to pick up those clothes in the floor anymore. You know when it stopped? When I quit saying anything. started telling God. And I started stop murmuring when I would come by and see those clothes in the kitchen floor. I mean, who takes their clothes off in the kitchen floor besides them two? I don't know nobody. That's just weird. But anyway, and I mean, they may be 2 or 3 days piled there. I would walk past them. Yes, God, I tell you right now, God, I don't understand. I'm not his mama. He tells me I'm not his mama, but he wants me to pick up these clothes like his mama. I mean, just rah, 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 rah. Y'all really think that helped our relationship? Of course not. But I was too dumb at the time, I reckon, to understand this is not helping. So when the Lord helped me and I got a clue, stop saying anything to him about it. Stop murmuring and complaining every time you walk by and they're there. He's not even home. I'm talking to the air, I reckon. But the devil knows it's true. And flesh likes to vent. Don't vent on Facebook. That's the wrong place. Just don't do it. We don't need all that bunch of useless information that we did not ask for about your life. Right? And it is not going to help you. This is not going the way I thought it was going. We ain't even got past the second scripture. Oh, my goodness. But when I finally got a clue and the Lord helped me and I quit griping and complaining every time I saw them whenever he wasn't even there or telling him, Scotty, pick these clothes up. Scotty, get these clothes up. Scotty, get these clothes up. Scotty, get these clothes up. I don't know how long it's been now. I told him the other day, I said, you know what? I just noticed I never have to tell you to get them clothes up anymore. He just does it, don't he? Now, he still takes them off there a lot of times. But before he goes to bed, normally they're up and in the basket now. I cannot change him. But you know what? If I can change me, sometimes that will precipitate a change in your mate or in your kids. You know, if your kids sometimes are talking to you wrong, maybe you should listen how you talk to them. Yeah, that went over real well. I mean, if you're telling your kids all the time, listen, you bunch of retarded heathen, I'm about to slap you in your mouth. Y'all really think they're going to talk sweet? Why? They usually do and say what they see and they hear. Travis is a perfect example. He likes to pride himself on he's just like his daddy. Mama told me the other day, she was talking to Travis about something out here. I don't know now what it was. I had done left. And she told me, she said, you know what? I was talking to Travis and said this and he said this. She said, it sounded just like you. You know, the older he gets, the more he acts like you and he talks like you. What's she talking about? The way we say things. We're not real sugary with our words. I mean, we don't mean it bad or whatever. You know, just I know now what it was. The kids didn't get cleaned up. They got junk in the playroom. They got dollhouses and all kind of stuff on the porch. They got stuff in the yard. He got tired of all that and not cleaning up. So he just backs the truck out there and he loads it up and he puts it on the burn pile and sets fire to it. Well, that's just kind of the way we think. Now, his daddy don't think like that. You poor baby, I need to get you another dollhouse. Hey, I can tell you there's one down here in the cubby hole that your daddy's been looking at. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. Now, your mama, I said, you better not do that, Scotty. I'm telling you right now, you better not. And we are not taking that thing to my house. You see, me and him, we are a lot alike. Huh? I raised him as daddy didn't. What do I mean by that? Until he was 15 years old, he's with me almost all the time unless he's at school. And he's not with his daddy. So what that means is I was the one that he's seen and heard most of the time. Most of the time, you become like whatever you see and you hear. That's scriptural. Y'all remember whenever they got bit by the snakes and all that in the wilderness, and God told them to put a serpent on a pole, you know, and that was actually representing Christ. And what did he say? He said, look at it. And that word look, when you look it up, it don't mean just look, glance at it. It means gaze intently. And as they did, they was healed. You become like whatever you behold. That's how come if I want to become like Jesus, I need to look at him. What did he say? Come learn of me. Right? I'm meek. I'm lowly. Get this, I'm over time. We got two scriptures here. I can see right now we are not going to even get half of this today. And I'm over time already. So just like this, whenever I lost all that weight before, you know, and I would pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me on this treadmill. Because I don't want to be on the treadmill. I don't want to be doing all those squats. I don't want to be doing planks and all that bunch of junk. I didn't want to do it. But I know that I couldn't lay on the couch and eat donuts and just confess the word. and he helped me and all of that. So anything that we need to make goals, we need to find out what is the will of God. If you are pleased with what you weigh right now and how you feel and how you get around, glory to God. That's something you ain't got to work on. There's people, they are underweight. I got a nephew, he's drinking Ensure and everything he possibly can right now to gain weight. He's 17 years old and he probably weighs 90 pounds. You know. So he's trying his best to gain weight. Now most of us, that's not the thing. But every one of us needs to find out the will of God for our lives and then make that a goal. Do what we need to do to go after that. If you're tired of being broke, the Bible says you don't have to be. But what you're going to have to do? Rein your flesh in. Just like all the rest of us. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything quick?